Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 229.
Today, Cheyenne has decided to tempt fate by asking for my personal opinion. Well, okay, Cheyenne, you asked for it, but on your own head be it. Here's the preamble to let you know what she was going for. She says, I know there is a market somewhere for everything. If you write erotica about turnip flowers, there is someone out there waiting to add it to Goodreads. You just have to be content knowing only one person is buying your books. So today I'm looking for your personal opinion and a somewhat more clinical response if you're amenable. Well, okay, I'll do what I can, but you asked for it. She continues, Vampires and werewolves saw a huge revamp, ha, in recent years, and I feel like it's only now trickling away. I kind of wish the sudden surge in popularity had never happened, because it seems to have focused on a version of vampires and werewolves that, well, sucks. Ha! For those of us hoping to dial back to a better time, or to bring something new to the genre, how does one know when the time is right to publish what's already been done, and done, and done some more? And after that, she goes on to ask my personal opinion about stuff, so this must be the clinical response part. So I'm going to go ahead and go for that. Well, there's a sense in which there's no good answer to this, because if there was, everyone would know how to do it. What you're talking about is timing the market, and that's notoriously difficult to do. But if you're writing in a genre that you read, and you read the current stuff, so you've got your finger on the pulse of what's going on, you may be able to start feeling the waves surge. So there's two issues here involved in publishing. One is when to publish. And generally speaking, unless you have a good reason to, publishing as soon as it's ready to publish is probably the best idea, because then you've got maximum time on market and you'll pick up readers here and there, even though you're not giving it a major push. However, when you feel the tide rising, when you think the market's been fallow for long enough and there just doesn't seem to be a lot going on, and you as a reader are starting to feel like, gosh, I wish there were good vampire stories or good werewolf stories like back when blah happened. When you find yourself starting to feel that, or when you hear a lot of other people starting to say that, and of course here comes the rain again, chances are that the time is ripe. And at that point, that's the point when you want to take that book you've got or those books you've got on those subjects and rebrand them, give them new covers, and then re-release them into the wild with a substantial amount of fanfare. Run advertisements, try to get press coverage, well, you know, interviews on podcasts and blogs and other stuff like that. Get free reviewers to help you out, and try to make a big deal of the launch so that you can either ride a rising tide or you can help start the tide rising. So that would be probably the clinical answer that you're looking for. You continue on and say, and in terms of your opinion specifically, what do you think the future holds for vampire and werewolf fiction? Has the genre finally burnt out on the pyres of Twilight and True Blood? Or can those who came of age in the Buffy era still look forward to a treasured reboot? Well, what I think personally is that after Bram Stoker, it's all been a little downhill. But that's me. It's not quite my thing. But what I've learned from watching, like, there was a big surge in werewolves in the early to mid-80s, and then there was a huge surge in vampires in the early to mid-90s, and then the tide went down, and then Buffy came along, and Buffy kicked off the whole vampire era that we saw culminating in Twilight and True Blood, with the kind of urban fantasy that involved everything in the kitchen sink. Around every corner, there's a new magical creature. And that era, I think you're right, it's starting to fade away. People are finally saturated. But I'll tell you what, these things always come back. Vampires and werewolves and zombies are perennial favorites. It seems to me that vampires tend to come around when there's a longing for something grand, mysterious, spiritual, sexual, and aristocratic. Especially aristocratic. When life is generally good and boring, and the notion of something magical and of an old-world flavor but not high fantasy will really fill a void in the contemporary zeitgeist. werewolves seem to come around a little differently. Werewolf trends, as far as I've been able to tell, seem to come and go where the issue of masculinity is important in the culture, either because it's terrifying currently or because it's really celebrated. When masculinity is a cultural issue, werewolves become important. When aristocracy is a cultural fantasy, vampires become important. And when the fear of the mob rises, zombies become important. And also, evidently, the fear of plagues. Over the last 15 years, we've seen all three fears sort of hit a zenith at one point, and they're all starting to fade away now because people have either gotten sick of the tropes or they've adjusted to the ways that the world has changed, and the flashpoints of crisis, or at least of the crises that brought those tastes on, have gone and sort of ebbed away and settled out to a new normal, whatever that is. But those are the trends that I've noticed, not just over my lifetime, but in looking back at the history of these sort of monster tropes, for what that's worth. As far as whether I want them to come back, oh, hell no. I've read some great vampire fiction and enjoyed it, but it's really not my thing. Ditto for werewolves and zombies. I tend to like my metaphors with, I suppose, a less supernatural flavor. To my personal tastes, there's something very arbitrary about the whole vampire-werewolf thing, and I'm totally, totally sick of zombies. So that's my personal opinion and my reads on what's going to happen in the future with these things. You go on to say, on the same note, what reference tools do you suggest for getting an idea of the current market climate for certain genres? I think I just answered that, but look back into history at the times when these genres have peaked. Look at what was going on in the culture, and not necessarily at the obvious things that have survived in the history books. You know, look at the other art in the era. Look at other stuff that was written contemporaneously around that time. Because all of these, the monster tropes, always have to do with social anxiety about something. So look for what the social anxieties were and how those are reflected and metaphorized in the monster fiction of the era. And again, for When It's Rising Again, you can take that historical data and use it to watch where the culture is going. And also, if you're a fan of those genres, pay attention to your own hungers. They're probably going to be indicative of what's due, because you're a human, you're living in the culture, the same culture that your audience lives in, so you should be able to trust your instincts. They might not always be right, but they probably will be right sometimes, and it's worth a shot. Good luck. I hope that helps. Thank you very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.